Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay. January 24, 2020. We've got a lot to get to on today's show. It is, of course, as I've been talking about this entire week, we are not on your regular two frequencies. We are not on AM 870. We are not on 105.1 FM. That is due to our continuing coverage of the President Donald Trump Senate impeachment hearings, which you can listen to live right now if you would like. But if not, rock out with Current Sports until 2-ish. This gives me flexibility, which is kind of cool. You know, we've been starting a little after 1 p.m. and we've been going a little over 2 p.m. That's been the norm for these few shows that we've had this week. So we'll go as the conversation flows. All right. We won't go too long, though. All right. Two-ish is what I like to label it as. And man, do we got a lot to get to on today's show, because last night that was tough to watch, wasn't it? You know, Michigan State, we knew and we know how tough it is to win on the road in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan State, what happened at Purdue, we knew there was a chance that could happen at Indiana. A raucous atmosphere at Assembly Hall. How would Michigan State handle it? And they did not handle it well. It was yet another slow start for the Spartans. They dug themselves a hole, climbed out of that hole, but Indiana proved to be too much in the end. Xavier Tillman, he's going to be having nightmares about that missed putback for a long, long time. It was right there. It was a bunny. If you ask me, he should have either banked it off the glass to make sure it went in, or came down, gathered himself, and then slammed it home. But that's not the reason why Michigan State lost last night. Let's be totally 1,000 and clear here. Michigan State came out the gates not ready to take on the Indiana Hoosiers, and it ended up nipping them in the end. So we got a lot to break down when it comes to that game. We'll, of course, invite you to be a part of that conversation. I have had to catch myself multiple times throughout this week not pubbing our phone lines, because we cannot use our phone lines due to the fact that we are not officially on the air. But if you want to weigh in, again, we are online at facebook.com/WKAR News. That's how many of you are tuning in, and you may even be listening to the podcast edition of the show, courtesy of WKAR.org. You can also tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Want to hear your thoughts on what went wrong for Tom Izzo Spartans last night. Also, I'm just going to briefly touch upon this. I don't want to waste my breath for a long time on today's hour when it comes to Antonio Brown and his stupidity that has led him to, you know, turn himself in to authorities due to another incident. The dude can't stay out of the press for something negative. And, you know, the question I have is whether or not Antonio Brown will ever play in the National Football League again. All right, so I'm going to ask that question. We'll also have Reflection Friday for you. I'm going to dedicate that to the Michigan State women's basketball team, who fell also last night at home to Northwestern. Northwestern, a very, very good college basketball team.
Susie Merchant was not pleased, though, yesterday listening to her press conference. She was not happy. She did not recognize who her team was last night. All right? So a lot to get to on this Facebook Live only, online only edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Jack Kerwin is the man rocking things behind the glass. Thanks so much, Jack. You know what's next? Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we start with the Michigan State men's basketball loss at the hands of the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana down Michigan State at Assembly Hall, 67-63. Your final last night as Michigan State dropped to now 6-2 in Big Ten play, 14-5 overall. It was not the best outing for Michigan State's leader, senior point guard Cassius Winston, who played 35 minutes, was 5 of 11 from the floor, 17 points, 3 turnovers for him. Did have 5 assists. Xavier Tillman with 9 points, 10 rebounds, so he comes a point shy of a double-double there. Aaron Henry did not play bad. 12 points, 2 rebounds for him. Gabe Brown, 10 points, also 2 rebounds. The reason I'm bringing up those rebounds, I mean, just like Tom Izzo said after the game, Aaron Henry and Gabe Brown can't have just 2 rebounds in that game. So Indiana gets the dub. I'll highlight a few of its standout performances in just a moment. But Michigan State, not a great game. Not a great game. Tom Izzo was not happy, as you can imagine, last night. All right, the Michigan State women's basketball team had its 3-game win streak snapped by number 22 Northwestern last night, 76-48 at the Breslin Center. The Wildcats were relentless on both the offensive and defensive ends of the ball to stop the Spartans. Michigan State now falls to 11-8 overall, 4-4 in Big Ten play. Northwestern improves to 17-2. The Wildcats are very, very good. 7-1 to lead the Big Ten Conference now, maintaining atop the league standings, tied actually with Iowa. So Iowa and Northwestern holding things down atop the Big Ten there. For the second straight game, the Spartans were led by the standout freshman guard, Maura Joyner, who scored 17 points, draining 5 three-pointers for the second game in a row. To go along with 2 assists and 4 boards, redshirt sophomore guard Claire Hendrickson also added a career high, tying 8 points. Senior forward Nia Holly and freshman forward Tyre Parks both scored 6 points. Parks led Michigan State on the glass with 7 rebounds. Tomorrow at noon, Juwan Howard and his Michigan Wolverines will try to snap this 3-game conference losing streak as they will play host to the Illinois Fighting Illini. Illinois, one of the top teams in the Big Ten Conference. And if I had to guess, I don't think Michigan is going to beat Illinois tomorrow. But we'll see.
Oh, they better not.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? No, because Michigan right now, I just don't think. I've been saying this a lot, Jack. When it comes to Juwan Howard's team, they're just not that talented offensively.
Correct, especially when Isaiah Livers is out.
Exactly. And first off, look, the point I made on yesterday's Current Sports, even if Isaiah Livers was a part of this team, would they be a better team? Yeah. But how much better, Jack? They don't become world beaters just because they have Isaiah Livers back in that lineup. He adds some more flair, some more production offensively for that team. But even with Isaiah Livers a part of that lineup, I still think Michigan will be struggling as they are right now.
No question.
And defense is horrible right now.
No
that
question.
Team does not play defense.
No question. You know what? If Isaiah Livers is back in the mix for Michigan, they're a bubble team who's maybe on the 8 or 9 line in the NCAA tournament, and without him, they're not a tournament team.
Yeah,
but I mean, either way, their ceiling isn't tremendously high. They're probably 3-4 or maybe 4-3 in the Big Ten right now instead of 2-5. But they're still not near the top.
And I saw Juwan Howard put out on his Twitter page.
Don't you mean Juwan Howard? Shout out Ray from Indiana.
Shout out Ray from Indiana, right? Juwan Howard. Juwan Howard. He put out on his Twitter feed that he has not lost the locker room and the team is fine. You know, if you have to tweet that. If you got to tweet that, dude, doesn't that mean that something's going on in that locker room and maybe you've lost the locker room a little bit? I don't know. Interesting, though. Interesting. And again, in fairness for Juwan, I mean, I would like to see what he does when he does get his recruits in there.
Absolutely.
Right? You know what I mean?
You got to give him at least a year before you can be overly extra critical of them, I would say.
Exactly. Exactly. So they'll play host to Illinois. That's a team tied now for first place in the Big Ten Conference alongside Michigan State. 6-2 in the Big Ten, 14-5 overall. We'll see what happens. All right. Michigan State hockey will play host to Penn State this weekend. Tonight at 7 p.m. inside of Munn Ice Arena and tomorrow at 6 p.m. as number 20 Michigan State will play its last series of the month of January, hosting number 9 Penn State. The Spartans and Nittany Lions are tied for second place in the Big Ten with 25 points apiece, 1 point behind OSU. The Spartans entered the week at number 16 in the pairwise rankings, while their strength of schedule ranks first in the nation. And my Detroit Pistons will be in action tonight at 7 p.m. as they will play host to who I believe is going to win the NBA's Rookie of the Year, Ja Morant, and the Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis coming into this matchup with a 20-24 record. The Pistons at a 17-28 record, which it blows my mind. This is the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Pistons are still in the hunt to make the playoffs as we approach the halfway mark of the NBA year. And to my surprise, I was watching last night. I was flipping back and forth between Michigan State and Indiana and the NBA on TNT, you know, Shaq, Ernie, Charles Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith. And you know, they came out with the NBA All-Stars, the starters, Jack, last night. And, you know, just for kicks and giggles, that four-team panel, one of the best in sports broadcasting, they wanted to put out who they believe the reserves should be. And Charles Barkley had two Detroit Pistons a part of his reserves, and he got killed for it last night by Shaq, Ernie, and Kenny. It was hilarious. He believes that Andre Drummond is an all-star, and he believes that, and Derrick Rose was on Kenny's list as well as Shaq's list. I think Ernie left him out, but Ernie did give Derrick Rose props, but I wouldn't put Andre Drummond on that list.
Derek,
it was pretty funny.
Derrick Rose is fair. Andre Drummond is absolutely absurd, and I don't even watch the NBA. The man is the king of empty statistics.
Yeah.
Falls out of bed with 20-10, right? But I mean, right, he's not going to win you anything ever.
Exactly. That's the thing with Dre. He did have a great stretch of basketball in the very beginning of the year, but All-Star, don't know about that. I put D. Rose in there for sure.
When is the trade deadline?
Oh, boy, isn't it? It's either...
When does Andre Drummond play his last game as a Piston? And we can throw a party?
Yeah, I know, because the trade rumors...
And Derrick Rose, too, hopefully.
I want to please keep Derrick Rose. Even though the Lakers have inquired about him, I mean, who would you get? You know, it depends on who we getting back.
Well, but you got to...
And draft picks, I don't know about that. I just... D. Rose, it's like... And I love the synergy right now with D. Rose and Reggie Jackson, who just got back. Don't give up D. You just got him. You just got him, dude. He's putting butts in the seats, at least.
All right, but you got to rebuild this thing at some point. And the other thing is, too...
Trade Dre.
Okay.
Trade Dre.
Well, right, but Derrick Rose's knee is going to explode at some point.
Don't say that.
Yes, you know it is. If you hang on to Derrick Rose a year from now, think of what he might be worth if he gets hurt. You have to move on from Derrick Rose while he's playing like an all-star.
Do not speak those vile words into our atmosphere.
You remember when the Pistons kept Blake Griffin? Where's he now?
Yeah.
Oh, he shut down for the year?
Well, look, I said the Blake Griffin acquisition, I have always...
I understand.
...always been on that side of, look, this dude just, he is just not healthy all the time. But D. Rose has given us now 3 years. where he has been healthy because his minutes are being managed. I hate minute management, but it's working right now in terms of D. Rose, who you have to you got to wrap that dude up in bubble wrap right now.
So, right. So if you have to manage his minutes, why would you want to keep him for the long term and build around him when you could get something for him?
He's a solid veteran presence right now. And how much, again, other teams are thinking the same thing you're thinking right now, Jack. I mean, this dude has been injury prone in his career. He's not getting any younger. I mean, what are they really going to throw to Pistons in exchange for an aging Derrick Rose?
Kyle Kuzma?
They are not giving up Kyle Kuz.
I think they might be giving up Kyle Kuzma.
Give up Kyle Kuzma.
I think they might be giving up Kyle Kuzma. Hasn't he had a terrible year?
He's gotten better. He had a very bad start, but he has steadily gotten better. I watched him last night. He had a very good game last night. It was against the Brooklyn Nets, but he's played great as of late.
And haven't there been rumors that him and LeBron aren't exactly getting along?
I haven't heard
so,
that.
So, okay, so, but...
I haven't heard that. That's, again, rumors. Just like the rumor about Kawhi Leonard and the whole thing about the Clippers locker room last night. Bleacher Report put that out, so I don't know.
But if LeBron tells Lakers management to get Derrick Rose...
The Lakers will never do that.
You don't think LeBron would do that?
LeBron says it, yeah. But he's not going to say it.
What do you mean? Why?
He's not going to.
Why?
No one in their right mind would trade, give away Kyle Kuzma in exchange for an aging.
Okay,
Derrick
fair
Rose.
Enough. But I mean, if
Kyle Kuzma gives you more minutes, he gives you a better average points wise, scoring wise.
Isn't Derrick Rose averaging 25 a game right now?
He's a better defender. I mean, nobody's going to do that.
Isn't Derrick Rose averaging 25 points a game right now, or something like that?
I have to look at the averages. Put me on the spot with that stat. But what I'm saying right now, Kyle Kuzma is playing, can give you way more minutes. This is another topic. We've got to keep pushing, but I would not do that. That would be totally idiotic for the Lakers to do
that. I completely disagree with your stance on Derrick Rose, then. I guess we'll agree to disagree.
We'll totally agree to disagree with that one. Okay, got to get through these. Sports bettors should be able to place wagers in person at casinos this spring, but you will have to wait until 2021. If you want to do so online. That's what Michigan's regulatory agency said on Wednesday. Now, regulations for online gambling in daily fantasy sports site will also take about a year. If you remember, in October, MGM Grand Detroit opened a $6 million sports bar that will add betting windows and self-service kiosks once regulators sign off. And I don't know which casino it is. Maybe you can look this up, Jack, for me. I know there is like a sports betting. I don't even know what you call. What do you call those things? Where you got chairs all around. You got big TVs.
Sports book, right?
Yeah, it's like a sports book setup at one of the casinos now in Detroit. I actually saw our former intern Darian Harris at one on his social media not too long ago, but he was looking like, oh, this is really cool. But people were just sitting there and sitting on these couches and these big TVs are everywhere.
Al, I think I put it in the headliner for you there.
Did you?
If you just keep reading.
Is that the $6 million sports
I
bar?
I believe so. Wouldn't that be what it is?
Oh, so it's a sports bar. It's not a sport. It looks like a sports book viewing
area. So the point is, I think, there is that once this stuff gets legalized, you know, sports betting gets up and running here in Michigan, that's going to be their sports book, yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
So MGM Grand Detroit.
It's really nice. If you haven't seen pictures of it or been there, check it out. Really, really cool stuff. All right, real quick. Antonio Brown, he was released from Broward County Jail earlier this afternoon, according to ESPN. The former Steelers receiver, he had posted a bond of $110,000. Yeah, $100,000 of which was tied to his felony burglary charge following that Tuesday afternoon incident involving his personal trainer and a moving truck driver. Now, a warrant for Brown's arrest was initially put out Wednesday. He turned himself in last night and had a bond hearing this morning. And according to 911 audio, of course, obtained by TMZ Sports, Brown threw rocks at a moving truck in front of his house and tried to take items from it after refusing to pay a fee to the mover. According to multiple reports, the driver delivered Brown's belongings from California. The truck driver, who claimed Brown injured him in the incident, also said he thought that Brown was high. More on that story later on. MVP frontrunner Lamar Jackson will be the center of attention in Sunday's 2020 Pro Bowl. I will not be watching the Pro Bowl. It's just boring. After leading all NFL players in fan balloting with 704,699 votes, Jackson got 164K more votes than the next highest vote getter, Seattle's Russell Wilson. They'll start at quarterback for their respective conferences when the AFC plays the NFC in the Pro Bowl. Kickoff 3 p.m. on Sunday from Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Right now, the AFC, if you care, the AFC is a 1.5-point favorite. So, do you watch the Pro Bowl, Jack?
Absolutely not. And I just thought it was funny, that last sentence. That's why I threw it in there, is how much of a degenerate do you have to be to gamble on the Pro Bowl?
You got a problem. You need to see somebody.
You have a real problem.
If you're betting on the Pro Bowl, call a hotline.
What's the most degenerate-ish thing you've ever bet on?
Oh, man. Let me think about that.
Have you ever done, like, preseason football or anything?
No, heck no.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever. No, it's usually a regular.
Have you bet
season
on Tiger
game?
And, like, the Bob's Burgers Open? You've probably done that. In some, like, small open, you've
Maybe.
Bet on Tiger. That's probably it, right?
Probably. Not much, though. It's not like I'm betting my house.
No, I understand. You know what I mean? No, I understand.
Yeah. Speaking of Tiger, he's playing in the Farmers Owner Insurance Open.
Oh, the Bob's Burgers Open. Very interesting.
There you go. Yeah. But I did not. No, I did not even
Are you going to be rushing to your office to
Already,
watch that right after today's show?
I watched him yesterday. Yeah. What? Come on. Tiger Woods,
I remember you saying to me, I don't remember what open it was last year, that, like, I had a question for you, so I came into your office and you were like, bro, you gotta look at this, Tiger's going off right now. And it was some tournament that I'd never heard of, and I was like, Al,
I know
you need help, man.
I am when Tiger Woods plays, do not mess with me, dude. All right, I will be glued to my television throughout, you know, today, tonight, tomorrow, and on Sunday for sure. But did you see this, folks? I wanted to include this because this was just an unbelievable moment. And the future is so bright in the world of women's tennis right now. Two of tennis's biggest stars are now out of the 2020 Australian Open. Naomi Osaka, the Australia Open's reigning women's champ from Japan, and Serena Williams, the 23-time major champ, fresh off her victory at the ASB Classic out in New Zealand, both have lost in the third round of tennis matches today in the Australian Open. Can you believe that? Their defeats at Melbourne Park were two of the biggest Open upsets. Osaka, 22 years old, was bested by American newcomer Coco Gauff, who is 15 years old and became the youngest player to eliminate a reigning champ in the professional era. She triumphed over Osaka 6-3, 6-4. Prior to that, the bracket same quarter, Williams, at 38 years old, lost to Wang Yang 6-4, 6-7, 7-5. What a match that was. And now Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka are out of the Aussie Open. Shocking stuff there. And I love watching all of those players play, but there's something about Coco Gauff and Naomi Osaka, two of the brightest young stars in tennis. They got game, man. Crazy, crazy stuff, though. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving.
Tonight.
right, you know what I failed to mention, not that many care, but Jack, the NHL All-Star Game is this weekend on Sunday, I think it is. It isn't like the skills competition tomorrow, something like that, right? Am I correct?
I think that's right.
St. Louis? They're out in St. Louis this year?
Yeah, so the All-Star Game, I believe, is Sunday. Yeah, the skills will be tomorrow or tonight.
Okay.
It's a good... Okay, here. Let's put it this way.
That's how irrelevant the Pro Bowl is. No, that, the NHL says, I'm going to beef up and go against you.
No, that's actually was going to be my point, is that if you want to watch an All-Star competition this weekend, which I don't think I will watch either, watch the skills tomorrow night. That's actually kind of fun to watch.
Okay.
And it's way better than the Pro Bowl.
All right, I may check. No, I won't. No, I'm not even going to lie.
Don't blame you.
I'm not. I'll check the highlights on SportsCenter at some point.
But the games itself aren't particularly interesting, but the skills competition is, I might tune into that for a little bit. We'll see.
Well, I know one game that Spartan fans were tuned into last night. That was, of course, Michigan State men's basketball. You just heard some of the lowlights coming out of the mouth of Gus Johnson as Michigan State fell to the Indiana Hoosiers on the road at Assembly Hall. And this was a game that had me just having flashbacks of what happened against Purdue not too long ago. The Purdue game was the last time that Michigan State played on the road prior to Indiana last night. So Michigan State loses 67-63. Tom Izzo was not happy. Tom Izzo, boy, I watched the live stream of his press conference after that game, and he was angry, to put it nicely. He was angry. He was fiery. And I totally get it. You know, this is a team that came out the gates against Indiana totally not ready to play. Who do you blame for that? Now, I think it's 50-50. You know, you blame your players, especially the leaders, for not having your team ready. You know, that falls on the shoulders of the captains of that team. It does definitely fall on the shoulders of Cassius Winston. But also the coaching staff. I mean, you know what happened the last time you were on the road at Mackey Arena against the Purdue Boilermakers, and you come out with no energy, with a lack of urgency, being out-toughed, and you dig yourself an early hole, and boy, oh boy, you know, I could feel the energy from Assembly Hall bleeding through the television. It was, you could tell it was loud there. I can only imagine how loud it was in person. You know, Gus Johnson mentioned at one point in the broadcast that, you know, for sports fans everywhere, watching a college basketball game at Assembly Hall should be on your bucket list, and I've said that for a long time. I got to check out a game at Assembly Hall. I mean, those fans are insane in the membrane. And this is a Michigan State team that has not performed well against Indiana. You know, I mean, looking at things, last year, Michigan State lost, if you remember, to Indiana, not once, but twice. Now, they did rally after losing to Indiana twice. You know, winning five straight, and, you know, after they lost to Indiana, they rattled off five straight and didn't lose again until the final four, which is pretty amazing. But still, it's you don't like to see a troubling pattern like this for your team. Now, I understand there's some people out there listening saying, Al, take a chill pill. Look, nobody plays well on the road in the Big Ten this year. It happens. Calm down. And I totally get that side of things as well. You know, it's kind of the demeanor that, you know, Graham Couch highlighted in his column today of the Lansing State Journal. You know, when talking with Cassius Winston and when comparing that to the demeanor of Tom Izzo, there were two different reactions to that game. Tom Izzo, angry, ready to go off, steam fuming from his head. And then you talk to Cassius Winston and he's just cool. Just chill. Like, look, man, I've been here before. We're going to be fine. You know, this isn't a game that ended our season. There's still a lot of basketball left to play. This is not the end of the world. You know, Cassius is basically saying, We'll figure this out. Now, for me, when you look at the details of this game, a few things to note. Indiana shot 11 of 20 from the free throw line. That alone let Michigan State in this game, back in this game. And Michigan State had opportunities to beat Indiana. And, you know, 11 of 20, that's 55% from the free throw line. And I really thought, you know, when Michigan State came out the gates, they came out the gates in that second half the way they should have started the game. It would have been a different story if that would have happened. You know, Mark Rocket Watts is the player who gave Michigan State the lead in that second half on that step back. But Indiana hung around and just out-toughed Michigan State. You know, I was on Current Sports yesterday talking about Trace Jackson Davis being the guy you need to look out for. Now, Trace, you know, he had 12 points, 5 of 12 from the floor, not bad. But, you know, at the end of the day, I did not expect, nobody did. Nobody expect, you know, or expected Joey Brunk to be the guy you had to look out for. Joey Brunk was the man last night for Indiana. When you needed him to clean up some mess or get a garbage time rebound, make a defensive play, Joey Brunk was there doing work. Efficient from the floor scoring-wise as well. 7 of 12, 14 points for him. Had 6 boards. Michigan State got out-toughed on the boards. The offensive boards is what I really want to highlight here because that gave Indiana multiple second chances to score, and that they did. 10 offensive rebounds for Indiana in comparison to 5 for Michigan State. Indiana out-rebounded Michigan State by 2. 31 rebounds in comparison to 29. That's unusual for a Michigan State team. And as I highlighted at the very beginning of the show, you know, Aaron Henry, and I've been saying this, Jack, you know this. I said that, look, in order for Michigan State to turn that corner and to reach a new level, he's the magic key for me. Aaron Henry has got to give you double digits somewhere, somehow. And that he did last night. You know, he gives Michigan State 12 points, but geesh, Michigan State is known for having guards who can rebound, guards who hit the glass. And for Aaron Henry and Gabe Brown, two starters for your team last night, just have 2 rebounds, that's inexcusable. That can't happen. And then Cassius Winston, he's in a bit of a slump right now. You know, I had a flashback last night also, Jack, to a conversation we had not too long ago about how I have been puzzled how many teams out there have looked at the scouting report, and you know, you don't have to look at the scouting report anymore. You know that Cassius Winston is the top point guard in the nation. You know that Cassius Winston is the straw that stirs this drink. Why don't you send multiple bodies, multiple defenders at him, hit him with a double team here and there? It has blown my mind how many teams out there have just decided to just put one guy on him and trust that that guy is going to slow down the top point guard in the nation. Well, you know what? Wait, Coach Miller said, uh-uh. Nope, we're not doing that. We are going to send multiple guys at him and make somebody else beat us. I think it was, what was it, Bill Rafferty that was on the call next to Gus last night?
Correct.
Rafferty stated they are going to make somebody else beat them in terms of Indiana's defensive scheme. And you saw it. Anytime Cassius came off a pick, there was no switch. That guy was moving through that pick, and they were double-teaming Cassius Winston. And Cassius Winston had to find somebody else to give the basketball to, which is how Aaron Henry, honestly, was able to get those 12 points. He did a great job of playing off of Cassius once they hemmed him up. And when Cassius drove to the lane, they got physical with him. They were tough looks. He was being bumped. And Indiana was able to really take advantage of that. You get 14 from Brunk, who led the team in scoring.
Keep in mind, probably 10 of the first 14 came in the first 10 minutes of that game, though.
For sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. Brunk was great early on. But he had some key buckets down the stretch of that game. I mean, I forget who missed the layup. It was Indiana guard, but he gets the rebound. He's just right there, right in the perfect spot to get the rebound and go right up with it with the left hand.
Yeah, that was incredibly unlucky for State. I don't remember who it was either, but yeah, someone dribbled baseline for Indiana and got rejected at the rim, and the ball goes right to
Brooke.
Yeah,
puts it in, money. You know, and like I said, Trace Jackson Davis was great too. I mean, he had 12 points. Durham, the guard for Indiana, Al Durham. You know, he chipped in as well with 11 points. They got great bench production. You know, Davis, Hunter, Thompson, Franklin, and Green all scored off the bench for Indiana. I mean, they out-toughed Michigan State. Simple as that. And when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of people are, you know, I saw it, and this is the short-sighted, reactionary Michigan State fan out there. Many people I saw immediately hopped on your little Twitter account and began to totally bash Xavier Tillman for not putting that basketball through the nylon. Should Xavier Tillman have made that bucket? Certainly. Certainly. That's an easy bucket there. At first glance, I thought DeCassius Winston was going up and actually had a shot attempt at the basket, but no. It was a designed drive and pass to Xavier Tillman. And Cassius goes up, tries to get it to him, and actually got blocked, hits the backboard. Tillman's right there for an easy catch and put in. And he tries to put it in while he, you know, off of one jump in the air, like an alley-oop put in, and just missed it.
Makes you want to rip your hair out.
It does. It really does, Jack. You know, if he hits the glass, that's a lesson to young ballers out there watching that game. Use the glass. Knock it off of that square and give it a much better chance of going in instead of trying to finesse it so that it rolls over the rim and goes in. You know, in hindsight, it's 2020. If it goes in, I'm not even having that conversation with you all right? Or you know, because he has some time to at least grab it, come down, go up, and have a dunk attempt. Even if somebody's on your back when you do gather it, the chances are pretty high that you're either going to finish it and get fouled, or at the very least, get fouled. So, I'm not going to kill Xavier Tillman for that moment.
What about him not playing very well the rest of the game?
He didn't, and that's where I was going next, Jack. Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at Tillman, first off, there's no way that Xavier Tillman should just attempt 6 shot attempts throughout the game. He's much better than that. He needs to be a bigger focal point of your offense.
Yeah, but that's on him, though, not on the offense, wouldn't you say? He wasn't getting himself into great positions to score.
That is true. And that's what I'm saying. Xavier Tillman has some opportunities there, you know, to really. Joey Brunk is Joey Brunk. There's no way Joey Brunk should be outplaying you, and he's not that great of a defender. Go at him. Kill him down there. That's the thing about Xavier Tillman. He doesn't have that killer instinct when he's down there. He's either going to, if he doesn't have good positioning, Jack, what Xavier Tillman would do is give you 2 dribbles. I don't got good positioning.
Kick it back out.
Let me throw it out. Exactly. Go at Joey Brunk. Tillman could have been much more aggressive in that game. And then again, you know, speaking to that kick out, you know, the 5 assists, he's great at passing from that post position. I mean, he had 5 assists last night. He was tied with Cassius Winston for the most dishes for any player in a green and white jersey last night. Where does Michigan State go from here, though? Because now, I don't know if anybody was watching that Ohio State and Minnesota game last night. Minnesota is on an absolute roll. They are a tough out for anybody. 5-4 in conference, 11-8 on the year. And right now, you know, Minnesota is a team that has won 3 of its last 4 games, with the only loss coming at the hands of Rutgers, who was a very good team. But they get a big win on the road at Ohio State in crunch time. Minnesota is a very tough team. And you know what really scares me, Jack? The fact that Marcus Carr, who put in 21 points last night, Marcus Carr was hurt I mean, not hurt. He got into foul trouble in that game against Michigan State that first time they played. He was on the bench throughout the majority of that game against Michigan State. That was a huge advantage in favor of Tom Izzo's team. If Marcus Carr stays on the court and is able to score the way he has been scoring as of late, again, 21 points for this young man last night, and then you couple that with Daniel Oturu, it's not a guarantee that Michigan State wins this weekend against Minnesota. That
not
is going
all.
To be a tough game. I don't know if I would choose Michigan State right now to win that game against Minnesota. Right now, Minnesota, I don't know if there's an early line right now, but Minnesota has to be favored, you would think.
I don't know about that. Probably not. Probably only like 3.5 points, but I would guess State's favored.
Those are my thoughts on that, dude. I look at this, and no, I'm not hitting the panic button here. There is still a lot of basketball left to play, and we all know Tom Izzo teams begin to figure things out come February. Well, February is right around the corner now. You know, next week.
It's next week?
Next week. We're talking about February. And at this point, I get the feeling that at least we start to see some things coming together for the team. These are still some old problems that are still weighing on this Michigan State Spartans team. So it worries me. I will say I'm worried. I'm not hitting the panic button, but I'm worried, Jack.
No, let me ask you this, though, really quickly, because you've talked about Aaron Henry, and rightfully so, but you said Aaron Henry's the guy that can take this team to another level, that he's kind of the third man. Do you still think that, or do you think it could be Gabe Brown? Because I'm starting to think from an offensive standpoint, it could be Gabe Brown. He's a better shooter from outside. He can score off the dribble. He can score off of off-ball screens. I think Gabe Brown could be the key for this team offensively, and Aaron Henry just needs to kind of do what Aaron does, and he can post 8.7 rebounds, kind of be involved all over the floor. But I'm starting to think Gabe Brown needs to be the third, maybe even second option offensively for this team.
This is the thing. This is why I still say Aaron Henry, because I think that, and we've seen Tom experiment with this a little bit at the beginning of the year. Aaron Henry is the guy who plays the best off of Cassius Winston. Those two, when they're on the court together, because if you remember at the very beginning of the year, Aaron Henry even was running some point guard, and Cassius was able to run some two, and he got some easy buckets off of that. Gabe Brown is more of a forward. He can't bring the ball up and facilitate the way that Aaron Henry can as well. The synergy between Cassius Winston and Aaron Henry,
that's a good point,
is so good at times that if Aaron can go out there and score, especially when you're keyed in on Cassius, he's that guy who can play off of that more so than Gabe Brown can.
Yeah,
so that's
enough.
Why I still say Aaron Henry. Don't get me wrong. Gabe Brown has been a pleasant surprise this year. He has gotten better. Like you said, he's knocking down that jumper. He's so athletic. He's going in there.
He's
going
to be a real weapon for this team.
Oh, he is. For sure, without a doubt. But why I say Aaron Henry is because the way he plays off of Cassius Winston and the way you can use Aaron Henry in the same capacities that you can use a Cassius Winston as well.
It's a good point. No. You know what? I was talking with my roommates yesterday. Would you say Aaron Henry is kind of this MSU basketball team's version of Jameis Winston? Where, like, it can be so great and then so awful at the same time all in one game. Because when Aaron Henry's engaged, he can be the best player on the court.
For sure.
You know, like what you saw last season against LSU, you've seen it a couple times this year as well. But at the same time, I mean, at one point he turned the ball over last night against Indiana. Izzo took him out. His next possession, he touched the ball, he turned it over again. You know, when Aaron Henry's going, he's really, really good. But when he doesn't have his confidence, he can be a real hindrance to this team as well.
I'm with that. That's an interesting comparison. Jameis Winston.
Like a little bit dramatized, obviously, because Aaron Henry I don't think is ever that bad for Michigan State the way Jameis Winston is, you know, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And that's
but
different. I mean,
he's very polarizing in that, you know, there are two very opposite ends of the spectrum where he can be very, very good, but then at times can kind of take the life and the energy out of the offense.
Yeah, I can see that. And I guess in some kind of defense of Jameis, I mean, Jameis plays the most important position on the football field at quarterback. You know what I mean? That would be like if I think the better comparison would be if Cassius Winston was really hot and cold during certain games.
Yeah,
and,
fair enough.
You know what I mean? But I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. All right, let's hit our only break of this online edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And you may be tuned in, of course, on our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. I'll come back And we'll close this thing out with Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just a few minutes left here. We'll close out the hour with this. It is time for Reflection Friday, where we reflect. Yes, there. You know, I haven't heard that piano riff in a long time. Shout out to Jack Kerwin there. We'll reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports. Bring up some really cool moments that we've discussed here and highlighted throughout the show, and maybe bring up a few stories that we didn't get a chance to touch upon. So for me, first off, I do want to give a big shout out to the Michigan State women's basketball team. Now I know they did lose last night, a three-game win streak snapped at the hands of what is the best team in the Big Ten right now in Northwestern. That was a 76-48 final from last night. 11-8 overall, 4-4 in Big Ten games, averaging a total of 71 points per game with a scoring margin of 7.6. And shout out to one of our many students who will be working with us throughout this semester here on WKAR's Current Sports. Diana Camarena did a great job compiling a few of those statistics for us, highlighting the MSU women's basketball team. Diana will actually be covering water polo for us. So stories are due soon, and you'll see that content very, very soon on our website at WKAR.org. But just a shout out to Susie Merchant, because, you know, Susie has this team very, very competitive right now. And I tell you what, Maura Joyner, look out for her. She has been the breakout star this season for the Spartans. 17 points yesterday against Northwestern, making that her second straight double-figure scoring outlet. And I'm looking forward to seeing how Joyner's game continues to mature as the game goes on. Also, Zion Williamson, one of my favorite moments of the week, seeing Zion Williamson make his NBA debut, his official NBA debut, his first regular season game, which came midweek this week. And, you know, throughout those first three quarters, it was like, oh my gosh, why am I even watching this? You know, I started, you know, doing some other work while watching that game. And then all of a sudden, you know, this was against the San Antonio Spurs. Also, a big shout out to Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes, wow. Bryn Forbes has worked himself into a really big contributor for Greg Popovich's San Antonio Spurs. Pretty amazing seeing him out in the court do his thing in that game as well. But Zion Williamson in the fourth quarter explodes for 17 straight points. You know, I really love the point that Kenny the Jet Smith made this week concerning Zion Williamson. You know, when it comes to debuts in the NBA, if you are going to be a truly great player, you usually see them do something special. They usually make some kind of great imprint on the game in some way, shape, or form. And Zion Williamson, throughout those first three quarters, it was like, And the minutes restriction from Alvin Gentry and the Pels didn't help. But in that fourth quarter, he showed why he is so special. That was fun to watch, and it was really great to see Zion Williamson just healthy back on the court. He's got to get in better shape, though. I must say that. And he's got to lose some weight, as I also talked about. But Zion Williamson, congrats to you, my man. And also, I forgot to bring up Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor getting that dub in 40 seconds. I mean, I thought this one was going to be a knockdown, drag him out fight last weekend against Donald Cerrone, better known as Cowboy. But Conor McGregor in 40 seconds showed why he is still one of the most entertaining dudes out there, man. You know, Conor McGregor, Jack, is one of those guys that, and we talked about his slump. If he would have lost to Cerrone, we'll be looking at almost 3 years since he won a fight. But he's one of those guys, he's so intriguing due to that mouthpiece of his and how he carries himself and the press conferences, that he's one of those guys that he just draws viewers to the television because of who he is. He moves the needle. So it was really cool to see him get that win last weekend. But that's what I got, my man,
no question.
For Reflection Friday. Anything for you?
No question. I mean, as far as McGregor goes, it's kind of like what I used to tell you about Tiger, that he needed to win another major, and then he went on to win the Masters, is that doesn't Conor McGregor have to beat Nurmagomedov in order for us to really say that he's back, though?
Yeah,
I would say he does.
But a lot of people didn't think he was going to beat Cowboy. I thought the Cowboy was going to edge him out. If it went the distance, I was going to go with Cowboy in that matchup, because, you know, Cerrone is a very polished fighter. But there you have that. Conor McGregor, man. So those are my highlights for this week. I really hope you all have a fantastic weekend. On Monday, we'll be back at it. I haven't gotten word whether or not we're officially going to be off our regular frequencies or not. But regardless, we'll be online. You can catch us at least at facebook.com/WKARnews or at WKAR.org. We'll recap the sporting weekend. We, of course, will talk about Michigan State men's basketball and whatever happens at Minnesota. Until then, though, have a great weekend. And as always, be easy, people.